Hello, and welcome to the Heart-Centered Horsemanship Academy podcast. This is Season 2, Episode 18. I'm Kimberly Horman, and today we're going to revisit bidding basics. So recently, I was looking at my most listened to episodes, and surprisingly, the most popular one is an episode I did about bits about 4 years back. The audio and content quality needed a boost, so I wanted to revisit this important topic for you all again today. Let's get right into it. Most of us have had that experience of walking into a tack store and being completely overwhelmed by the wall of all sorts of different bits that are available. So what's the purpose of all these different bits? How do they actually work? Which bits are the most comfortable for a horse? These are all great questions, so let's talk about some of the most common bits and their functions. Now first we have snaffles. A bit that doesn't have shanks is considered a snaffle. A shanked bit acts as a lever, increasing the force that the rider is putting on the reins. When we look at a snaffle bit, the amount of force on the reins is the same amount that the horse feels in their mouth. However, as with most horse-related information, it gets a little more complicated than that. For example, D-ring snaffles provide a small amount of leverage because of their construction. Larger rings will provide more leverage than smaller ones. Contrary to popular belief, Bouchers or hanging cheek snaffles reduce the amount of pull pressure because the cheek pieces of the bridle will actually loosen and flare out when pressure is applied to the reins. Loose ring snaffles have the least amount of leverage. Because the rings aren't in a fixed place, there's no possibility for them to act as levers. Now let's talk about bits that do apply leverage. As mentioned before, the shanks on a bit amplify the force a rider exerts on the reins. These types of bits will generally be equipped with a curb chain, which is designed to apply pressure under the jaw when the reins are used. The curb chain also affects the amount of rotation of the bit in the horse's mouth. Bits that employ a curb chain are also termed curb bits. Because Western riders ride with less contact, these types of bits are very popular with them. The longer the shank, the less movement and engagement of the reins is necessary for the horse to respond to rein cues. English riders will generally turn to shanked bits if their horse is heavy or hard-mouthed. Some bits, like a Dutch gag, for example, have multiple rein placement hoops that allow you to adjust the amount of leverage that you're providing to your horse. The further away from the corners of the mouth that you attach your reins, the more leverage the bit will have. Pelham bits are also an option, and they're designed to be used with two sets of reins. The rider then can choose between applying snaffle pressure or leverage pressure. So how does a jointed bit versus an unjointed bit work? Single-jointed snaffles are very commonly seen among riders in many different disciplines. These bits work by folding inwards, applying pressure on the bars of your horse's mouth when you apply rein pressure. A raised jointed snaffle can potentially bump the hard palate or the roof of your horse's mouth, which can cause your horse to evade the bit due to discomfort. Signs of evasion can include behaviors like head shaking, raising the head, or fighting the rider's contact, and we're going to get into all of that a little bit later on. Double-jointed bits, like French links or lozenges, are designed to distribute the pressure applied by the reins along the tongue and bars. The center link is important to examine and understand. For example, a smooth lozenge covers more area on the tongue than an angled flat French link would. In general, more surface area equals less harsh. It's important to note that bits with more joints, such as Waterford bits, perform in a way that's harsher, and that's just because they can tighten around the tongue and mouth. If you're wondering whether your bit has pinch points, you can try holding the bit in your hand as a partner pulls back on the reins. You may be surprised about the feel of that pressure and where it's magnified. Now, some bits aren't jointed. So mullein mouth bits and their variations are also commonly seen. There are many designs of these sorts of bit, and some offer a great deal of tongue relief. It's important to stay non-judgmental about these types of mouthpieces, as many of them provide less pinch points and better tongue relief than common snaffles. Ported mouthpieces apply increased pressure on the bars of the mouth, and a port that's high can easily interfere with the hard palate of your horse's mouth. So it's important to keep that in mind. Now remember, there are countless other variations we could discuss, such as material, weight, texture, flavor, and for some bits, even flexibility. If you're struggling with finding the right bit, I always recommend you first have your trainer out to watch your horse perform in her current bit, evaluate the one that you're currently using, examine the fit of the bit, and recommend either changes in your riding or a different bit if necessary. If you don't have a trainer and you need help with this, please reach out. This is something I can help with through the use of videos and a live consultation where you're with your horse and have the bridle handy. Another important consideration is the diameter of a bit. Thicker bits afford the horse more surface area, where pressure applied is distributed over a larger surface. This additional surface area is what makes thicker bits milder choices. Think about backpacks. Backpacks with thicker straps are much more comfortable than ones that have thinner straps. It distributes that pressure over a greater surface area of your shoulder. However, it's important to keep in mind that a horse with a smaller mouth or lower hard palate may not have enough tongue room if they're wearing a thick bit. The tongue's ability to rest comfortably in the mouth is a big factor in overall bit comfort. Now, let's take a look at some indications that you may be having some bitting issues with your horse. It's important to remember, if a horse isn't comfortable in the contact with a bit that you've been using and the behavior is new, have your equine dentist out for an evaluation. However, let's assume for this podcast here that your horse is cleared of any oral or dental issues. Horses will generally evade the bit when they're uncomfortable. And this can look like resistance to the contact, hollowing their back, or coming behind the vertical. There can also be resistance to downward transitions, which may manifest as lifting or tossing the head when rein pressure is applied. The horse may get busy in their mouth, constantly playing with the bit or trying to snatch the reins out of your hands. It's important to note here that this one also could be an indication that your horse is experiencing anxiety, and this isn't always an indication of a bitting issue on its own. Another thing that can happen is you might feel like your horse is grabbing at the bit and sort of taking control away from you. And in extreme cases, horses might stop suddenly, they might rear up, or they might even bolt away from the pain that's being caused by a bit. Now, in conclusion, I'd like to say through the years of many consultations regarding hard-mouthed horses, I often find that it's not always the bit causing issues. Your horse's level of training combined with your level of riding experience are important factors in finding the right bit for your horse. Additionally, mouth conformation plays a big role in what bits are appropriate for your horse. Remember, regardless of the bit you decide is best, the bit is never to be used as a training shortcut. Bitting up a horse simply puts a band-aid on a foundational issue that will need to be addressed sooner rather than later as you progress through training with your horse. Never try to cover up problems with a harsher bit. I'd like to thank you all so much for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to reach out. You can visit my website, heartcenteredhorsemanshipacademy.com, and you can send me an email with any questions, Kimberly@heartcenteredhorsemanshipacademy.com. Let's make sure your next ride is a confident, harmonious, and partnership-based one, and we'll talk soon. Take care.